All right, I'm going to be in Hebrews chapter 11. It's going to be it's going to be my main text for today. So if you want to turn over there and if you want to try and follow me along, I actually would like for you to try to follow me along every week, not just this week. We put the verses on the screen, which is good, but if you can, look at it in the Bible. Just so you'll know, I'm not playing tricks on you up there on the screen. So today's sermon, actually for the next few weeks, the sermon is going to grow out of last week's sermon. Now, I know you don't remember what I preached last week, and I'm not going to re-preach it, but I preached about how there is a foundation of Christ. And Paul talks about we need to build on that foundation. He says, but we need to use the right kind of materials. He said, some build with gold, silver, and precious stones, and some build with wood, hay, and stubble. Obviously, one of those, he talks about how it's going to be tried by fire. One of those can stand the test of the fire. One of those categories cannot stand the test of fire. And so I was giving you just a few things, and the first thing I said that is represented by gold, silver, and precious stones is faith. In fact, we looked at a verse in Peter where it said that, you know, not only is gold not destroyed by fire, gold is actually purified by fire. And so we talked about that. So I want to spend the next few weeks, really, I'm going to spend probably the next two after today, Sundays, in Hebrews chapter 11. I just want us to walk through it because Hebrews chapter 11 is about faith, and I want us to be a people of faith. Look, you know what? I'm asking God, I started this week, I'm asking God to raise up an army of people of faith, starting right here. I'm asking God to turn our church into a people of true faith. I'm asking him to raise up in our community a people of faith, people who have faith in God and who move in that direction. This is kind of a little, I'm going to go ahead and just chase a little rabbit up front just because I want to. But I was just thinking about this. You know, we sang the song this morning, Days of Elijah. And, you know, these are the days of Elijah. These are the days of Moses. These are the days of Ezekiel. And, you know, you think back through all the Old Testament. And the Old Testament time was like this supernatural time. You know what I mean? I mean, we saw seas getting parted. We saw, you know, hitting rocks and water come out. I mean, there was dead bones that came alive when Ezekiel prophesied over them. I mean, there was just, the Old Testament was like full of the supernatural. And then by the time the New Testament opens up, it's just like, yeah. I mean, seriously. And I'm thinking, what happened? You know, what happened to the, it's the same nation. It's the same people. And you're like, what happened? How did they go from being this people that saw the mighty miracles and the mighty hand of God regularly to being a people that were just, quite frankly, they were so far from God that Jesus didn't have very many good things. Let me just throw this out there. They went from being a people of faith to being a people of rules. By the time the New Testament opens up, it's all about the rules. It's all about you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do it on this day, you can't do it. In fact, the rules, Jesus called them a heavy weight and a burden. It was all about the rules. They went from being a people who heard from God and acted and saw the mighty hand of God to being a people who were told you have to do this and you have to do that, and they very seldom saw the mighty power of God. I'm just wondering if that might be, and it kind of fits in with what I want to talk about today. Here's what we need. We need a faith-based Christianity and not a rules-based Christianity. And so we're going to talk today about faith. We're going to talk for the next few weeks about faith. And it's always been about faith. In fact, if you're open there to chapter 11, if you look a couple verses up in chapter 10, verse 38, the writer there says that the just will live by faith. He's quoting Habakkuk. The rules have never changed. The way to be right with God has never changed. It has always been about faith. It always has been, and it always will be. Well, that's interesting that little clog came up and I wasn't even excited. Satan's trying to shut me up. No. No. I'm going to stay calm. Especially now. Look. So here we have, we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We're going to talk about faith. And he writes this. He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. I want to try to help you to understand what this verse is saying. It's not really a definition of faith, but it kind of is. I think it at least explains to us the characteristics of faith and how faith works. So I'm going to walk through it on a couple of words. First of all, he says that it's the substance of things that are hoped for. Now, this word substance, actually, some of your translations, you may have a translation that says assurance instead of substance. And I don't know what other, assurance is a good word, substance is a good word. Here's literally, the word means, it means to stand under. It means to stand under and to hold up. I thought that was interesting since last week we talked about the foundation and that the foundation that the building is built upon and that the building is only going to be as strong as the foundation that is holding it up. And so this is saying right here that faith actually has something holding it up. Faith actually has a foundation. It is the substance of things that are hoped for. We have a hope, but it has a solid and secure and sure foundation. There is something that holds it up. Here's one of the main points I'm driving home today and starting right now. Faith is not just some random, hopeful, wishful thinking. That is not biblical faith. Biblical faith is not you just saying, you know what? By golly, I want this to happen, so I'm just going to start believing it, and it's going to happen. That is not biblical faith, and you're going to see it in the next few weeks. That is not what biblical faith is. Biblical faith has something that's holding it up. It has a solid and a sure foundation. It is the substance. It is the assurance of the things that are hoped for. So, what is that foundation? What is the foundation of faith? Is it Romans chapter 10, verse 3? It's Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, Paul says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here's what you're going to find out. The foundation of faith, the thing that holds faith up, the thing that makes faith strong, the thing that makes faith really faith and not just wishful thinking, is that it has as its foundation the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, if God has promised you, look, of course we have the written Word of God, and so anything that's in this written Word of God, we can place our faith in it, we can place our faith upon it, and we can be absolutely confident that what's going to come to pass is going to come to pass. For instance, God has promised us salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ. He has promised it to us in His Word. We can base our faith up on that and make that decision, and we can be sure that it's true. God, I'm not going to discount the fact that God also speaks to you individually and personally. I'm not going to, listen, when Cheryl and I were newly married, moved to Fort Worth, was going to seminary, I wanted to preach. I mean, I wanted to preach so bad. I mean, that's where I learned to preach to the dog, is up there in Fort Worth when I didn't have a church. I just preached to anything that would listen, right? Or anything that wouldn't listen. But listen, I would pray, I would seek the Lord, and I was asking God, I know you've called me to preach. God, it's a fire that's in my bones. I know you want me to preach. And let me have some word to preach. And it just didn't happen. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. And I just kept praying. I just kept praying. And literally one evening in my prayer time, God literally gave me a date. Literally, He gave me the exact date. It went through my mind as a date. I can't remember. It was June. It was the end of June, somewhere in there. It was July something. It was a Monday. That was the date that He gave me. I just knew that something was going to happen on that day. So now I started praying about God's will to be done on that date. I prayed for His sovereign will to come together and to be accomplished on that date. On that very day, that exact date that He gave me, that evening, a little church outside of Corsicana, Texas, called me up and they said, you know, we need a pastor and we're just wondering if you'd be interested in talking to us. Now, come on, y'all. Look, I'm not discounting the fact that God speaks to you personally as well as through his word. But here's the deal. I knew that something was going to happen on that date. How did I know? It wasn't because I just dreamed it up. It wasn't because I just wanted to preach so bad and so I was just going to believe it and it was just going to happen. God gave me the date. All right, God gave me the call. That had already been established. I knew I was supposed to proclaim the word of God. I knew I was supposed to preach the word of God. That was sure. And so I could be positive and confident and rest my faith because God spoke to me. Listen, faith is when God speaks to you and you stand upon that word. Your faith is only as strong as its foundation. And if your faith is only based upon your wishful thinking, or it's only based upon what you think you can accomplish, then your faith is going to be weak, it's going to crumble, and it will not stand. But faith based upon the promise of God, you can take it to the bank. It's the substance of things that are hoped for. You have a hope for the future, but you know that it's as real today. That's one of the things that faith helps you. Faith lets you live today in the truth of tomorrow. Faith lets you live today in the promises. In fact, we're going to go on and we're going to read, as not today, but in the weeks ahead, we're going to read all kinds of things where it says they saw something that was invisible, or they were propelled forward by seeing the unseen. But you're going to see this pattern all through all these. And by the way, chapter 11 of Hebrews is called the Hall of Faith, or the Hall of Fame of Faith, or whatever you want to call it, different things like that. All of these people had one thing in common. They were great people of faith, but listen, it's always because God spoke to their hearts and they heard him and they obeyed. They were people of faith because they had a promise from God. That's what true faith is. That's how you can live with assurance. That's why you can live with such confidence and assurance, is because your faith is in the God who's able to do anything. And your faith is in his word that he's giving you, his promise. He's giving you his promise. It's going to happen. Now, it may be like, you know, we're studying Abraham in Sunday school. Yeah, you know, it may take 100 years for it to come about, you know, which we're not too thrilled about. But you can count on one thing. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to come about. So faith is a substance of things to hope for. It has a foundation. And then it says it's the evidence of things that are not seen. My translation says the evidence of things not seen. Your translation may use the word conviction. Anybody? So I see a few head nods out there. Here's the bottom line. Here's what that's saying. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. It has a foundation. It is being held up by the word of God. Its strength is the word of God. And now it is the substance of things hoped for. Now it's the evidence of things that are not seen. Here's in essence what that says. You see, all of these people, I know what I want to say. I just don't really know how to say it. It's about your response, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. It's about how you respond. Listen, don't have to say it with me, but after a couple more years of this, you're going to get real used to it and you'll be able to say it with me. What you do says more about what you believe than what you say. I need you to understand. That's what this verse is saying. What you do says more about what you believe than what you say. Because true faith is a verb. That means it's an action, right? Faith isn't an emotion. It's not a feeling. Faith is a verb. It is an action. And what this verse is saying is, now that you have this assurance and this promise from God, this verse is saying, now you're going to act on it. You're going to live like that promise has already been fulfilled, even though it may be 100 years into the future. It's the substance of things hoped for. Like I said a while ago, faith helps us live today in the truth of tomorrow. Faith is not wishful thinking, but it is living today like something that hasn't happened yet is already a present reality. And that's what true faith is. And it's about how you live. You can see I don't know why I'm connecting that here, but I'll get to it anyhow. So here it is, faith. It's hearing from God. It's believing what God has told you, and then it's acting upon it. So if I'm asking God, which I am, hint, hint, to make us as a church a people of faith, here's what I'm asking God to do. I'm asking God to speak to us. We're going to hear it. We're going to believe it. And then we're going to act upon it. We're going to act upon it. You see, it's not really faith if I'm not acting upon it. It's not. It's just not. It's not truly faith until it becomes the evidence of things that are not seen. And when I act upon it. That's how I can believe. You know, verse 3, he says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. You know, and again, like I said, we're going to see a lot of places in this where verse 7 is typical. And I'm preaching from verse 7 today. That'll be next week. But it says Noah was divinely warned of things not yet seen. All right? Moses, it's going to talk about Moses, how he was propelled to move forward. It said, by seeing the invisible. You see, it's faith that helps us to understand the non-understandable ways of God. And it is faith that helps us to see the invisible and to see the things that are hidden from the human eye. And it's by faith that we believe that the worlds were made. It's by faith that we believe. You know, when I look at creation, and I look at, and I know I've done this with you before, so I'm not going to really go through it again. But when I look at all the intricacies of the entire universe and how everything is so perfectly, does exactly what it's supposed to do, and it's in its exact right spot, and if it wasn't in the right spot, moving at the right speed, doing the right thing at the right time, and if everything wasn't all lined up, there would be no life on this planet. There would be, when I look at creation, it is beyond me how anyone could look at that and say, well, that just happened by chance. I don't have that much faith, all right? Look, it's just beyond me. It is so obvious that it was created by an intelligent, it was designed by an intelligent designer that was created on purpose and for a purpose. But see, it's by faith that helps me see that invisible. It's by faith that I can understand that. And it's faith that gives me the foundation for that. So here's verse 2. I skipped a verse, but I got it back up. Verse 2. He says, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony or a good report. And here's what this verse, first, okay, faith has a foundation. It's the substance of things hoped for. You've acted upon it. It's the evidence of things that are not seen. And this is how the elders obtained a good report. And this is how a good testimony, my version says, your version may say a good report or a good witness. It may say something along those lines. And here's what that's saying. It is saying it is through this faith. It is through hearing the promise of God, believing it, and then acting upon it that you are going to get God's stamp of approval on your life. What I want more than anything else is for God's stamp of approval upon the First Baptist Church in Bridge City while I'm here. I really, even after I'm here, but you know, especially, I'm selfish, I guess. I don't know. But anyhow, more than anything else, I want God's stamp of approval upon the First Baptist Church of Bridge City while we worship Him, while we serve and minister together. Listen, that stamp of approval will only happen when we hear the Word of God, believe the Word of God, and then act upon the Word of God. And when that happens, though, God, He gives it the stamp. God gives it, that's how they obtained a good report. That's how they obtained a good witness. It came from God. It was God putting it upon them. It was God doing it on them. In your life, in my life, in the church's life. And you know, you've probably known people through the years, through the decades, I know I have, that I just say, man, that person is a person of great faith. And I've known those kind of people. And I've kind of admired them and say, they have a great faith. They have a way of believing God. They have a way of trusting God in such a way that I'm not sure that I'll ever get there. You know, I sort of want to be like them and admire them. Listen, that is God's stamp of approval upon their life. That is God. That's how they are obtaining God's good witness and God's good testimony. I want God's stamp of approval upon us as a church. I want us to have the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I want us to hear the word of God, believe the word of God, and act upon the word of God. And I'm going to say that so many times today that you're going to say it to yourself all week, and that's a good thing. That's actually my intention. You hear the word of God, you believe the word of God, and you act upon the word of God. That, my friends, is faith, and that's what I'm asking God to do in our community and right here in our church, is to raise up an army of people who do that. Because I'm going to tell you what, I just believe that if we get back to being a, from what I started off with, I believe that if we get back to being a people of faith instead of a people of religion, we will get back to seeing the supernatural mighty power of God at work in our lives. I believe that that's what happened to the nation. They went from being a people who heard God, believed God, and acted upon God, what God said, to being a people who were totally about religion and rules, and they lost the supernatural power of God. I want it back. In fact, I tell you what, I get weary of religion without the power of God. And if you're honest with yourself, you would say so to you. You would just say so to you. It's wearisome. It's a labor. It's a trial. We want to see God's hand move and God do things that only God can do. And that's only going to happen when we hear from him, we believe him, and then we act upon exactly what he says for us to do. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good testimony. I'm going to look at the first two guys, verses 4 and 5. I'm actually going to look at verse 6 as well. But the first two people that are mentioned here in this roll call of faith. And the first, I'm saying this first one, I'm saying it has to do with worship. It's about Abel, Cain and Abel. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, through it, he being dead, still speaks. So this is from Genesis chapter 4. It's the story of Cain and Abel. We know that they were the kids of the children, the sons of Adam and Eve. And so here's the deal. And, I don't want to read too much into this, but they are the sons of Adam and Eve. You know, Adam and Eve, we believe, were the first creation. They lived in the garden. Adam and Eve, you know, they actually met with God, you know, before they got kicked out of the garden, right? Before that whole fruit thing that went on. They walked with God. They talked with God. And they truly experienced God until they sinned and they were put out of the garden and that separation came into effect. So now you have their children. Now, Adam and Eve, I mean, they remembered that, I'm sure, all their lives, right? I mean, do you think you could walk with God, talk with God in the cool of the evening in a beautiful garden and then just forget it one day? No, I kind of doubt it. All right. So they, you know, this was something that they remembered. They understood. They really knew what it was meant to have fellowship with God. They really knew. But their kids didn't. Now, I'm sure they passed it on. I'm sure they talked to them about it. But Cain and Abel had never really experienced it. And so they needed somehow to become right with God. And so we have this, obviously there was something to do. It's worship. They're coming to worship. They're coming to bring a sacrifice. It says in chapter 4, what verse am I in? Verse 4. It says, I'm going to start in verse 3. It says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was angry, and his countenance fell. So this always troubles everyone. You know, why did God accept Abel's and not Cain's? I don't have a real good answer for you other than back over in Hebrews 11, verse 3. It simply says that by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. All I can really tell you for sure biblically is that Abel's offering was offered in faith and Cain's was not. One was offered in faith and one was not offered in faith. Whether that was because you can make a delineation between, it said that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, which means he just brought some stuff. And I think there's some truth in this. It means he just brought some stuff. But it says that it specifically says that Abel brought the first fruits, which is what God asked for. He brought the first. He brought the best, which is what God asked for. God asked for the first fruits. And listen, that takes faith. It takes faith to give God your best. It takes faith to go out there among the herd, pick out your best out of every 10 cattle or sheep or goats or whatever you got, to pick out the best and to bring the best to the Lord. It takes a lot of faith for you to sit down every week, every month, every other week, how often it is you get paid, and to take right off the top before you pay any electric bill, before you pay any mortgage, before you pay any car note, for you to just take 10% and to just go ahead and do it however you do it, either online or write a check or whatever you do, to give that to the Lord. I'm telling you, that takes faith. It takes faith. You didn't get any amens? That's all right. I understand that. No, I get it. I get it. But I'm telling you, it takes faith for you to give God the first and the best and not try to just give him something out of what you have. It takes real faith. And so Abel's was offered in faith and Cain's was not. So Abel's was accepted and Cain's was not. A little bit later on in chapter 4 and in verse 16, it says that Cain went out from the Lord. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and he dwelt in the land of Nod. Here's the thing about Cain. Really, Cain was living for himself. He didn't bring to God the best, not according to Genesis. Genesis makes that delineation. So he didn't bring to God the best. He didn't bring to God the first. He gave some. You know why? Because he was religious. He was religious. He was okay with following the rules. But ultimately and deep in his heart, it was about Cain. And Cain wanted to please himself. And Cain wanted to make sure that he was on Jude chapter 11. Not chapter 11. There's only one chapter in Jude. Jude verse 11. He's talking about false teachers. And he says they've gone in the way of Cain. And what he's saying by that is he's saying they're only looking out for themselves. They're only trying to take care of themselves. Yeah, they got this religion, but they don't have any righteousness. They are not operating by faith. And so we have Cain here, and Cain did not give an offering. Abel gave an offering that was offered in faith, and it was more excellent. And so what happens? He obtained the witness. Again, he had God's stamp of approval that he was righteous because he offered in faith. Now, again, I go back to this was a worship scenario. They were bringing sacrifices before the Lord. It said in the process of time that there was a time, there was a place that they went. There was an understanding that they brought an offering. Look, worship is also to be done in faith. Worship doesn't have rules. I probably shouldn't say that, but I'm going to say that. Worship doesn't have rules. You know, you have to step one, step two, step three, boom, I've worshiped. You know, I got to sing this song, that song. I got to raise my hand. I got to clap during that song. I got to give my tithe. And once I've done all that, I've worshiped. It's about faith. It's about me expressing my heart. It's about me opening up to God and being grateful for the salvation that he has given me and being grateful for the way that he works in my life. So the next one is he talks about Enoch. So, verse 5, he says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Again, here you get this. Enoch had this God's stamp of approval on his life that he pleased God. The story of Enoch is found in Genesis chapter 5. And it starts over in about verse 21. It says, Enoch lived 65 years and he had Methuselah. And after he had Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 360 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So that little verse, that last little verse I read about how Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, was what Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, is referencing, that God just took him. Enoch didn't die, is what that's saying, is what we believe that it's saying. But Enoch walked with God. So if the first one was about worship, then this is just about walking with God. And it's about having fellowship with God. Once again, look, it's not about rules, it's about relationship. Amos chapter 3, verse 3, God says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? And in other words, what he's saying there, can two people walk together unless they have a true relationship? Here's the deal. You can't walk with God unless you have a relationship with God. There is no step one, step two, step three to walking with God. There are no rules about walking with God. It is a relationship that you have with him, and that's what walking with him is about, or you don't have the relationship with him and you cannot walk with him. Enoch walked with God. And this is the thing. Listen, religion, look, and I say this all the time, and I want to make sure you understand. I'm the pastor of a church. Obviously, I believe that religion has some sort of place in our lives, right? But I'm telling you, religion will never replace faith. If what you are doing is only because of religion, you are going to be left empty. You are going to be left with so many questions. You're going to be left holding the bag. You're going to get out there in the world. Tragedy's going to strike, and you are going to realize you have nothing. You have nothing. That's what religion will give to you. Now, if you have the relationship first, all right, and then all this religious stuff can become ways that you express your faith, then it can begin to be real in your life. But it does not work the other way around. It just doesn't. So I want to make sure that you get it in the right order. And we have to start with faith. And starting in faith is walking with God, which means we have to be in a relationship with him. And here's the deal. How can I ever have a relationship with God? I mean, really. I mean, you don't know what's in here, but I do. Thank you, brother. I'm glad you understood. You don't know what's in here, but I do. And I'm talking about on me. All right? How could I ever walk with God? How could I ever possibly have any kind of a relationship with God? It's because he provided the way. So you remember, if you remember in the Gospels, all of the Gospel writers, well, the three that talk about the crucifixion scene, well, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they describe the crucifixion scene. Every one of them described this event that when Jesus died, that there was this veil in the temple that was torn completely in two from top to bottom. Every one of them make a reference to that. So here's the deal. Under the rules-based religion that Israel had, this was a curtain in front of this little room called the Holy of Holies. And it was believed that God lived inside the Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant was in there. You know, that's what Indiana Jones was looking for, that Ark of the Covenant. Indiana Jones wasn't real. The Ark of the Covenant is. But the Ark of the Covenant was in there, and it was behind that curtain. And that Ark of the Covenant was considered to be the seat. It was called the mercy seat. It was the throne of God. That was where God was. And there were a lot of rules about going behind that curtain. In fact, only the high priest could go, and he could only go once a year. All right? And so the idea was that in their religion, they were separated from God. Separated. You couldn't walk with God in religion. You couldn't walk with God by obeying the rules. Only one person could, and he could only do it once a year for a real short time. So Jesus dies, and suddenly, supernaturally, God tears that curtain completely in two. And what it's signifying is that there is no more separation between you and God. There is no more you cannot approach God. And the reason that you and I, and no matter what's in here and what's in here, the reason we can approach God is when Jesus died on that cross. I'm going to explain this to you the way I would explain it to children. When Jesus was dying on that cross, he was being punished for everything I've ever done that was wrong. You understand that? He was the innocent being punished for the guilty. Every time I told a lie, every time I cheated, every time I've stolen something, every time I've hurt someone, emotionally or physically, every time I've ever done anything that I know is wrong, that was Jesus being punished for that. He did the same thing for you. That's what he was doing on that cross. He was being punished for all of our wrongs. And then he was buried and he rose again the third day. Rising again the third day, showing that he overcomes all of that sin and that he can take us to be where God is. Listen, you can approach God because of what Christ has done on the cross. You can approach God. You can have a relationship with God. You can walk with God. I can walk with God. In spite of what's in here, in spite of what's in here, in spite of what I've done outwardly, I can find forgiveness. I find grace in the gospel of Jesus Christ because Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And that's what Ethan was doing this morning. He was just simply telling you, look, I have given my sin to God. And I've asked him to come into my life. I've surrendered to him. Simple as that. It's only going to be by faith. It's only going to happen by faith. And you know what? I got to read the next verse. Got to at least read it. I don't really have to do a lot of explaining it. Did I miss a verse? No. It's the next verse, verse 6. Listen, you hear what it says here? He says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Him with a capital H. That means God. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one that comes to God must believe that he is, must believe that he exists. And listen to the second one. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You notice he didn't say he is a rewarder of those who keep all the rules. He didn't say he's a rewarder of all those. Yeah, right? He's a rewarder of all those who don't ever get their clip moved. And y'all, how many of you ever got your clip moved? I think Jordan got hers moved one time. She cried so hard they moved it back. I think that's right. Is that right, Jordan? I'm pretty sure that's right. Anyhow, look, where was I going? God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Again, through the worship and through the walking, pursuing that relationship with God. So look, that's where we've got to start. We've got to start with pursuing that relationship with God so that we can hear from God, believe God, and then act. Say that with me. This is good. I need you to remember this. We hear from God, believe God. And what is that?
Faith.
Hear from God, believe God, and act. That's who we want to be. That's who we need to be individually. That's who we need to be as a church. Stand up with me, if you would. Oh, man. Sorry about that. Look, if you need to come forward this morning for any reason, if you need to come and receive the salvation that God has offered to you and his son, Jesus Christ, today. If you need to receive that for the first time, I'd love to pray with you about that. Just tell me. Just say, I need to have a relationship with God. Just come down here and just say, I need to have a relationship with God. That's all you got to say. And I'll pray with you about that. I'll lead you in a prayer. There's no magic in the prayer. It's just helping you express what's going on in your heart. If you want to come and kneel and pray, you come and kneel and pray. If you want to pray about something, pray about us being a people of faith. Pray about us individually and collectively being a great people of great faith that hear from God, believe God, and act. You come forward.